Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Kim. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, let's see. I have been writing for about 10 years now, I guess. I write primarily gay romance. In a lot of genres, pretty much all the genres. Mm-hmm. I've also kind of branched out a little bit and written some horror and a few other things. And so I like to write in a lot of genres. My day job is college professor. So that's what I'm doing when I'm not writing. And I live in California with my family and my cat. And when I can, I really love to travel. So
right now, I feel the pain that we cannot travel right now.
That's really hard on a lot of people.
It really is. So what inspired you to become a writer?
I remember I was like 3 and I was at Montessori school and I thought I was writing like squiggles on a paper, you know, but I thought I was writing. So I've always wanted to be a writer. I had this dream of being a professional writer, but I didn't think of it as being obtainable. So it was always something I just kind of did for fun. And then for some reason, I thought there was no way I could ever write a novel. I used to write short stories and I don't know why I had that idea. And then I learned about National Novel Writing Month. And thought, well, okay, I'll give that a try. And sure enough, I wrote a novel. And now I'm writing my 31st. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So what was that journey to get that first book published? Because you've been writing for a while.
I have been. Yeah. So my first actually several books were self-published. They were from National Novel Writing Month. Mm-hmm. And they were all, you know, my real start was I used to write fan fiction. And it was Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan.
I was gonna ask. I was like, which fan fiction?
It was Buffy, and it was all about Spike, and primarily Slash. In fact, pretty much all Slash. And I wrote a lot of it, and it was really fun, and it was a really great experience because I got a lot of practice and a lot of feedback and a lot of confidence too. So, and I met a lot of really wonderful people. So that was a really good experience. And then, as I was doing that, I wrote my first novel during National Novel Writing Month and self-published it just kind of for friends. Mm-hmm. And people really enjoyed it. And so did my fan fiction fans. And I thought, And then so I ended up self-publishing a few other books after that. And then I was trying to sort of get up the courage to submit to a publisher. And an author who I really liked, her name is Amy Lane, read one of my self-published books and sent me an email and said, you know, you really ought to submit to a publisher, which I can't tell you how much that meant to me. Mm-hmm. And I did.
That's fantastic. I love the journey. Like, it's not linear that you took action around it and it's still like it's overwhelming. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you write in multiple genres. Like, what is the process like? Do you research? Like, how do you decide what genre you're writing? Is it based on a feeling or a contract? Or what's the process like for that?
Usually it's just kind of based on what I'm in the mood for. I like to kind of balance things out. So if I've written something that's a really light, fluffy contemporary, then maybe afterwards I might want to write a dark paranormal or something like that. So I like to balance those things out. And I usually start with an idea. I have this file of ideas. It's like 30 pages long. It's ridiculous. Some of these things have been in that file for years. And so, you know, I go through that and see what speaks to me. Because for me, the most important thing about writing is that it's something I really am passionate about writing. Mm-hmm. So I find the thing that really jumps out at me. And I usually start by just writing and I sort of research as I go.
I love this. And so do you follow an outline or do you see where the story leads you?
For the most part, I don't outline. Sometimes I might have a really basic outline, especially if I'm writing something that has like a suspense or mystery element. Mm-hmm. I don't want to write myself into a corner. But for the most part, I you know, some I have a really basic outline, but for the most part, I wing it. I feel really strongly like I have this muse, and I rely on her to help me out. I wrote one book, it's a ghost story, and I kill off one character twice and still manage a happy ending with him. And I didn't know how I was going to do that until about 3/4 of the way through the book. So I trust my muse to help me out that way. And as I get to know the characters as I'm writing, that really is what leads the story.
So talking about characters, what is the process like to develop them? Like, do they come to you? Do you write about them? Do you brainstorm? What is that process?
I think it's a lot like meeting real people. You know, I start with sort of a really basic idea of who they are, where they come from, where they live, what they do, what their sort of basic motivations are. But I don't really get to know them really deeply until I start writing. So the more I write, the better I know them. And then I have to go back oftentimes and change things. Mm-hmm. So it really feels like getting to know a person. And by the time I'm done, they feel really three-dimensional, these imaginary people in my head.
Yeah, they do. They felt like well-developed characters, at least Jenny Spencer did.
So. Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that. Because they feel that way. You know, to me, these are my friends, you know?
And yeah.
There are times that some characters, I want to strangle them, you know, or I just want to slap some sense into them, or I want to hug them. And I feel really real about them.
Yeah. So let's chat about Teddy Spencer isn't looking for love. What was the source of inspiration?
Well, there was a few sources of inspiration. One was just, I was playing around with some of my favorite tropes that I really like. And I really love, one is the forced proximity, you know, there's only one bed. That is so much fun. I love those stories. So I liked that. And I liked the idea of an office romance. Mm-hmm. So that's a fun one. And the kind of enemies to lovers. I mean, they're not really enemies, but they're certainly not friends as things begin. And so those kinds of tropes I was having a lot of fun with. And for me, the settings were also a really big part of it. You know, the story takes place in Chicago and Seattle, which are two cities I both really love. And I, you know, the story set in February, which is important because Valentine's Day kind of plays an important role. Mm-hmm. But in both Chicago and Seattle, February is not the nicest time of year. It's kind of a really bleak time of year. You know, here in California, February, it's spring. Things are blooming and it's all great, but not in those parts of the country. And I really wanted to put a story there, you know, when everything seems really bleak and depressing and yet, you know, people find love.
Yeah, I feel like this was like a perfect Valentine's read. It takes place around Valentine's, which is great. But I think it's like, it's a perfect, like, kind of like a sunshine in the midst of a wintry mix, you know. It's snowing, it's bleak, and it's like, oh, there's like, they're falling in love to go to an escape room. They're making dinner.
That's exactly what I was hoping for.
So talking about getting the setting right, because they're actually, you know, Chicago takes, like, it's unique enough. Like, I think I mentioned to you beforehand, and I'm into the listeners, I just moved to Chicago, so I'm still like brand new. I moved right before the pandemic, so I haven't explored much. And so it was funny enough that I'm like devouring all the Chicago books, like just like when I used to live in New York and I devoured the New York books. But I really love that it was unique enough that you did share tidbits about Chicago, that it was like, oh, okay, like this is something I can explore. So what was the process like, you know, for get the Chicago part right, and then the Seattle too?
Like I said, I travel a lot, so that helps. I was born in the suburbs of Chicago and lived there till I was about 9. And then we moved to Portland, Oregon. So, you know, I know both cities, but not like super well. But I've visited both of them several times and I really love them both. I think they both have their own really unique kinds of quirks. Mm-hmm. So what the experience, some of the experiences I write about are things that I've done in those cities or people I know have done and that I think are particularly charming, really, about both of these, but aren't necessarily always the exact same things. You know, like if you have this tourist agenda, you're not going to necessarily, you know, do all of those things, but but those are the kinds of things I enjoy.
Yeah, I felt like Teddy was my local guy. Like, he doesn't interject to a tourist who was like trying to figure out what to do. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to hang out with Teddy. And so he can tell me where the thrift stores are and where the stuff, the cool stuff is, where the locals hang out, you know?
I feel that way. I mean, I get so passionate about cities that I love that I probably bore everyone with unwanted tourist advice. But you know, especially like those kind of things that are maybe a little off the beaten track, you know,
and yeah.
You know, I think when I'm traveling, those are the kinds of tips that make, or even when I'm living in a place, those are the tips that are most important to me. Cause you know, when somebody tells me, oh, you really need to go see this, cause I love it. That's what I want to hear about.
Yeah. And so they had to go through, we have an eccentric billionaire who puts them through the ringer with a couple of tasks. And so what was the process like to coming up with the different tasks that they needed to do?
Oh, that was so much fun. You know, I had to think about, you know, tasks that were doable, that would test these particular qualities this eccentric woman wants to test, and yet would be, you know, be doable and sort of fun. And so I, you know, I researched different things. One of them is an escape room. Mm-hmm. And I've been to an escape room, and it was so much fun. And I thought, what a great way to kind of find out something about people, you know, you put them in this sort of pressure situation, but it's not, I mean, nobody's going to die, you know, it's not for real, but you can really find out something about people's skills and maybe their limitations if you've got two couples who at that, two guys who at that point have this, you know, the sexual tension, it puts them in close proximity together again. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I love the escape room. Like, I'm living for those. Like, I think I read about a couple books this year to have the escape room feature. And I think it's like such a great place for the characters to hang out and to be in a stressful situation and to figure out, like, do we like each other? The sexual tension is added on to it. Right. Like, it just adds to like a heightened level of awareness that they're together or they're exactly. Not together and they should be together.
And creating it was a lot of fun because it's almost like a story within a story. So I had to create the plot for this escape room they're in, which now I want to go to that escape room because it sounds fun.
Yeah, that escape room was a lot of fun. So can you share a little bit about what some of your upcoming projects?
I've got a couple of things coming up. That are finishing out 2020. One of them is a holiday story. I have a series called The Bureau that's paranormal, noir, historical. And the seventh book, I think it is, in that series is out this winter, and it's a Christmas story that's still paranormal noir kind of, so it's a little weird for a Christmas story, but I really enjoyed writing it. It takes place in San Francisco in the 1940s, so that was a lot of fun. And then in early February I'll have another short novel come out called The Muffin Man, which was so incredibly fun to write. It's a fantasy story, and I can't tell too much about it other than it involves sentient sourdough starter.
Oh my gosh. I love this. Just a curious question, what is your favorite trope to write?
I like everything. I there's different force proximity is a really big one with me. I love hurt comfort. That's another one I always find myself gravitating to. I like grouchy characters who turn out to not be so grouchy, you know?
Yeah.
I think those are really some of my ultimate favorites.
I love this. Yeah. Yeah. I gotta love a grouchy character. And then usually you're like, you're just something gooey in the inside.
Yeah. I love peeling away those layers.
And yeah. So, all right. So now let's go to a round of book recommendations. It's an opportunity to share with the audience what they should read next. What is your favorite genre?
My favorite, I love all genres, honestly. Okay. But if I had to pick only one, it would probably be fantasy. I find myself gravitating toward that probably a lot, but honestly, if I think I've written in all the genres, I love them all.
I love this. And so what has been a book you read this past year that you love?
One book I read this book this year that I really loved was called The Raven and the Reindeer. It's by T. Kingfisher, and it's a retelling of the Snow Queen story. And it is really lovely. I mean, it's just the writing is lovely. The imagery is lovely. And the whole, I couldn't put it down.
I love this. Tell us where you can find you online.
So I'm all over the place. I'm basically K Fielding Writes everywhere. So I'm K Fielding Writes on Facebook. I've got a group and a page. I'm still not sure exactly what the difference between those things are, but I have both. I'm K Fielding Writes on Twitter, and I'm also K Fielding Writes on Instagram.
I love this. Thank you, Kim, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for asking me. I'm delighted.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatyourextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTORE10 to save. Visit whatyourextblog.com/QueenBeeReads. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.